Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let us pray. Our Father, we pause in the midst of this worship service this morning to look at you for guidance, to look at you for quiet waters, as we have experienced so much this week, and we have this body of worshipers here this morning, some who have been through some trials and tribulations this week, but nevertheless, they are here to worship you because they remember you said you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. So no matter what we are going through, we know that you will see us through. And so we pray that this body of believers will not worry, because you said for us to pray. And we pray we don't need to worry because we've put it all in your hands. And we ask a special blessing upon the shepherd of this flock and his companion. And we have experienced death all around us this week. And we pray for all of the bereaved families. We pray for all who are experiencing illnesses and other challenges. But we believe in your word. And we know that you can handle all things. And so when we come to this altar and when we come to your house, we put it in your hands. And then we know that you are going to guide us. We ask this in your name. Amen. It's so good to see y'all. And I am honored to have the pastor ask me, along with Brother Osborne here, to come and share with you this morning. And my youngest daughter is here. I told him I had to teach Sunday school this morning, and the lesson was about forgiveness. So I said, now I got to get out of here by 9:45. I said, so when it's 2 minutes before 9:45, you hold up two fingers. So we are glad that we didn't run into any of Florence's finest on the way here this morning. I don't know if I told y'all the story or not, but Sunday school teacher was concerned about whether or not her students might be able to talk about where she felt Jesus is. And so she asked the question, where is Jesus? So one of the students in the class said, he's in heaven. She said, oh, wonderful, wonderful, my son. So little Sarah said, I know where Jesus is. He said, where? He says, it's in my heart. What a blessing. So in the back of the room, little Harry said, I know where Jesus is. I said, well, where is Jesus? In the bathroom. I said, in the bathroom? Yeah. I said, well, why you say that? I said, because every morning my daddy go and knock on the bathroom and say, Jesus Christ, are you still in there? Okay, thank you. All right. But don't worry about it. If you don't hear me through this, I am going to yell. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk with us about this morning, and I decided on the topic about the spiritual roadmap for making moral and ethical decisions. And I know we're on a tight schedule, so I'm going to be obedient and not keep you over. But I was planning this lesson. I looked and reviewed what the tools are for planning a trip by car. And our youngest daughter is here, and she worked with a corporation one time, and they gave her emergency equipment, if a car broke down, one of those triangle things to sit out on the highway. And they gave her a beautiful Atlas map that she would not use. And so I said, well, give it to me. And nowadays, we've got the cell phone map, and we got Waze. And so back in the day, we would plan our trip by using a map. We veterans know that wherever we needed to go, we had to have a compass to know north from south, east from west. And those of you who travel by car, the interstate codes deal with odd and even numbered routes. So if you're going to go north or south, you're going to have an odd numbered interstate. If you're going to go east or west, it's going to be even numbered. Now, if you want to go to Marion and you're going to head west, you're in trouble. And you're not using an interstate necessarily, but if you're going to travel 76, you better go east. And then if we are going to a business district, the interstate is preceded by a one, or odd number, 195 or 395. But if you want to go on a beltway in a city, it's an even number, 295, 495. And any of you who've been to our nation's capital, you get on 495, you ride for days and not get to an exit at all. But there are, in making decisions, there are three types of decisions. You've got trivial decisions, you've got prudent decisions, and then you have your moral decisions. And so the trivial decisions really amount to something like what color socks you want to wear to church. Now, for some people, that is a major decision. Yeah. Especially if you have a wife that monitors everything you wear. Amen. Then you have the prudent decision, students. You have to decide whether or not you're going to play first and study last, or you're going to study first and play last. Then you have the moral decision that has to do with behavior. And that's for us in the Christian community, that's should always be a priority. So in the Christian decision-making process, the first thing that we should do is get direction from God. And so we have some scriptures that we're going to show you this morning. I want you to help read them with me and get now directions from God. First one comes from Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. It's familiar to you. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge, and he shall direct. Notice now, it didn't say in some of our ways. In all of our ways, okay? In all of our ways, no matter what the topic is, no matter whether or not we are work at play, all right? Now, the next scripture I want us to look at is from Psalms 119. I want us to read that guy. Keep your finger about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, let's go to Psalm 119. And the first one we're going to deal with is verses 1 through 8. Let's read that together. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do not walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy commandments. statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Okay? Now, verses 97 through 105. Okay? Oh, how I love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto me, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love that verse. I love that. I will say to all of us, you know, you hear a lot of people saying that one of the problems that we have in our schools today is they took prayer out of schools. So what I want to tell you, that is not true. That is not true. I want to let you know that. Because any student or any faculty member or anybody who wants to pray can pray. They can pray. Why? Several of us, you can play individually. But every morning, there is a moment of silence. And during that moment of silence, that's an opportunity to pray. And every day, even now, my wife and I mentor and tutor every week, Monday through Thursday. And when I worked every day as principal or assistant principal or teacher, I carried Route 66 with me. And while so many place emphasis on prayer in the school, the first place that there ought to be prayer is in the home. And if you, why are you looking? Because young people can go through so much between the time they leave the house until the time they get to the schoolhouse. Riding the bus, riding in the car, and that kind of thing, you know? So prayer was not taken out of school. What was taken out of school is that making it required for everybody to pray in the same way or at different services. But you can pray in school. So prayer wasn't taken out of the schools. I want everybody to understand that. If you want to pray, you can pray. Now, the sad thing about it is a lot of people who want to pray, they want to pray to be seen. Okay? They want to be seen. And then after they pray, they won't speak to you. I don't know if y'all ran into some of those people, but I ran into some of them. Big old cross around the neck, dangling from side to side. You know? But when we walk, they won't even say good morning. You know? So my question is, what God are you serving? When your walk is not consistent with your prayer. So in this spiritual roadmap for moral and ethical decision, all of our decisions are to be in harmony with God's laws and his plan. We can't pick and choose what we want to do. And we have a lot of the family discussions in our home. And I know today what society accepts is not in God's plan. And so we have to make a choice whether or not we're going to follow God's word in Route 66, okay? Route 39 in the Old Testament and Route 27 in the New Testament, combined for Route 66. And if no other books in the Bible, Psalms and Proverbs, And that's why I wanted us to share that briefly this morning. They will guide you, young people, and others, mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters, to us to make decisions that sometimes are very challenging. But one of the things that we need to do is define the problem or opportunity that we run into as believers. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that life is not challenging. It is. Every day, we face different things. Some of us are growing up right now, and we can look back and wonder, how did mama and daddy do this? How did they get by? Okay? And there's some of us sitting in here right now, we could qualify for food stamps when we were growing up because we could qualify for being poor, but nobody told us we were poor. There was always somebody providing for us, okay? And so we need to understand that we are going to have challenges. Then what we need to do in these steps for making right decisions, we need to search for information that will help us make the best decisions possible. Determine alternative solutions, deliberate, decide, and take action. Now, making moral and ethical decisions will sometimes go against the grain of the crowd. And we as individuals must make a decision. Am I going to do what is popular? Am I going to do what's popular? Or am I going to do what thus saith the Lord? And we come to different topics. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that. You know, we get in a discussion with our children, okay? And growing up, I remember my wife and I were taking our younger daughter to back to college one weekend. And she had this radio or tape on, and we were listening to it. And it had these lyrics on there. And part of it was the mic, "You don't need no sheets." I said, "What? What are you listening to?" "Daddy, now you got to get with the times." I said, "Oh, no. I ain't getting with that time." So we changed channels in a hurry. And we have all of these discussions now. And we talk about what our girl said, particularly our younger daughter, "Daddy, you ain't going to get no boyfriend now unless you do this, unless you do that." I said, "What did the word say?" "Daddy, they don't want to hear the word." I said, "Okay. You're treading on dangerous ground." Okay? We must stand on God's word. And when you stand on God's words, I can tell you right now, it's not going to be popular. So you got to you're going to make a moral and ethical decision based upon God's word. And you won't go wrong. Christians have a good time, but they have it in a disciplined atmosphere. You must have discipline. Discipline must be in the home, must be in the church, must be in the community. And I will tell you right now, it doesn't take long for us to look around now and see that things have changed so much in our society. But we must be with a constant God. He does not change. The other word is variable. You got some people change with everything, whichever way you go. I have to tease my daughter. Now, last night, she's an Ohio State fan, and she's watching the game. I was at Cardboard City last night for a while, and I came home. I said, "Oh, you're watching the game." And I looked at the score, 41-0. Now, she's going to watch it when it's 41-0 in favor of Ohio State. But if it's 7-7, the TV's off. I can't watch that, Daddy. I can't watch that. But you got to be constant. Win, lose, or tie, stick with your team. Win, lose, or tie, you stick with God. In all our ways, we to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Now, I know there are consequences when we do this now. There are consequences when we follow God now. Be ready now for your friends, so-called friends. They're going to leave you now. Some of them. If they are not of the word, they're going to leave you. Okay? I was taken off of the invitation list to the parties several years ago. You know why? Because I drank up all the chasers. Now, for you young people who don't know what a chaser is, let me explain. Let me make it plain. You have certain drinks over here. That's the real stuff. Then you have your orange juice and your Pepsi and Coke and ginger ale, and you have your olives, and you have your cherries, you have your grapefruit juice. That's where I went. I lived over there at the parties. So when they went to get their drink, they didn't have anything to mix. And so they said, oh, we got to get rid of this rascal right here. He don't know how to act. We ain't got nothing to mix with. He done drink all the Coke. He done drink all the Pepsi. He done eat all the cherries and the lime. And we got half a grape juice bottle. That we don't invite Brooks back nowhere. So, needless to say, I don't get invited. Well, I said, okay, that's all right. That's okay. I'm not upset about that. Okay? You have yours, and I got mine. Okay? But that's one of the consequences. Now, the other thing is, when you go to the parties, young people and elderly people, you got to watch what's on the menu. When you go into the parties, when we were growing up, our parents wanted to know who your people. They want to know whose house you're going to. What standards do they have in their house? Which brings us to the final and last verse of scripture that I want to share with us this morning. That's Joshua, 24th chapter, verse 15. Let's show you that. Let's read that together. And if how many of y'all are comfortable standing with that? Huh? Isn't that powerful?
Well, Daddy, so-and-so let her daughters come in the house at 11 o'clock.
I said, that's fine. That's their house. But as for me and my house, you know, you coming in way before that. And when we were growing up, our parents would tell us, now, son, if you're not back in this yard when the sun go down, something's going to happen to you. And that something, young people, was putting the board of education on the seat of knowledge. And my baccalaureate address was heard all over the neighborhood when I didn't do what they said. And that's what we have to do as parents. Being a parent is not a popularity contest. We have to lead our children in the right way. And that's the right, in the godly way. So, you know, regardless, and there are going to be temptations now. There's not a sin to be tempted. We are going to be tempted, okay? But the sin is to yield to that temptation, okay? I'm not going to tell anybody that I did not want to be flirtatious with my wife when we were dating. I walked to her house. I didn't have a car. I didn't get my driver's license until my sophomore year in college. My roommate took me to get it down in Orangeburg. And when I drove to the highway department, highway patrolman said, who drove this car here? And my roommate pointed to me.
He said, "Who's trying to get the driver's license?" He pointed to me. He said, "Oh, Lord." But I took my grade of 72 and got my license, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." But I'm saying to you, in this life, we're going to be faced with making decisions, and we must let God be our guide. And we should not be ashamed about doing that. Now, if somebody doesn't want to be with you because you express a willingness to obey God, then that's somebody that really is a friend that you need to do without. Speak to them. Be nice to them. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are not going to be cursing in here. As for me and my house, we're going to dress respectfully, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? There's a reason why men have loops on their pants. It's made for an item called a belt. And it's not meant for you to be walking around like you got a, well, I can't see this up here now, but I'll tell you after church how you walking when you ain't walking right. And I tell these young ladies, listen, young man come to you and their pants are hanging around your rah-rah bum marie, you tell them, you go back and finish dressing. And when you finish dressing, then I will decide whether I will give you the time of day. Otherwise, goodbye. Let's make good decisions. May God bless you. Thank you.